And the institution of the family is actually better than the biblical one. And it's really nothing short of alarming. It's frightening to see how quickly so many are embracing this radical revisionism with hardly any objection. The fact is, you won't find the contemporary portrait of the excellent woman, the excellent wife, anywhere in the Bible. This is the only one you'll find, right here. Here's the portrait of an excellent wife. And what do we see in the portrait? Well, we see many things, many particular features. We see, for one thing, a woman who is supportive of her husband. Verse 12, she does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We see a woman with good business sense. Verse 13, she looks for wool and flax. Verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. This woman knows how to handle money. We see a woman who is strong. We don't see a woman who is weak and passive and frail like a wallflower. But a woman who is strong. Verse 17, she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. We see in this chapter a woman who is diligent and hardworking and optimistic as she works. She isn't lazy and she doesn't fret. She doesn't complain about her work. She isn't negative about the things that God has given her to do. Verse 13, she works with her hands in delight. Verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Verse 25, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. This woman's got a great attitude. She isn't consumed with herself. She cares about those who are less fortunate than she is. Verse 20, she extends her hands to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's more concerned about her character than her appearance. I did not say that she's not concerned about her appearance at all. Didn't say that. But I said she's more concerned about her character than her appearance. And how refreshing this is in a generation that's telling us that a woman's worth is measured by and large, or in large measure, by how she looks. And how many women themselves think this way. Verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And this woman, when she opens her mouth, what comes out? Not gossip and slander and a bunch of foolish talk, complaining, griping. But verse 26 says she opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. And there's something else in this portrait of the excellent wife. And it's this particular feature that we're going to focus on this morning. It's found in verses 28 and 29. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Now there are three things that we want to note this morning in connection with verses 28 and 29. First, we want to look at the assertion of the text. The assertion of the text. A simple observation is made in these verses. We don't have a command here. We don't have a wish. But it's a statement of fact. It's an observation. King Lemuel tells us something very important. Something noteworthy. Something very satisfying. Something very commendable about the excellent wife in her domestic setting. And that is, she is the object of her family's admiration and respect. She is the object of their appreciation and praise. They love her. They respect her. They appreciate her. And they tell her that. They verbally express their appreciation for wife and mother. Both children and husband combine together in grateful acknowledgement of her love, her devotion, her selflessness, her sacrifice, her hard work over many years for their benefit and the benefit of others. She has a reputation, this woman has got a reputation with her husband and her children for being a woman worthy of their admiration and respect. Now, what greater earthly delight could any Christian woman, any godly woman have than this? Right here. The approval, the smiles, the commendation of those whom she loves the most. Those whom she values the most. What greater earthly happiness could she possibly desire for herself than her husband's respect and her children's respect? Her husband's blessing and her children's blessing. What an enviable scene this is, isn't it? I mean, how many homes across our nation right now, nothing like this is going on. Nothing even remotely resembling this is going on. But there are some homes where this does go on. How wonderful it is. What a wonderful thing to see husband and children together heaping praise upon mom. Not just on Mother's Day, but at other times throughout the year. Heaping praise and verbal expressions of respect and admiration upon mom. Not rarely, but regularly. And not because they've been reminded to do it, but because they want to do it. Because it's in their heart. They can't hold it back. They have to express it. It's spontaneous and sincere. It's in their hearts. It's got to come out. And so they express it verbally. This is a gift that means more than flowers. You know, ladies like flowers. But this means a whole lot more than flowers. It means more than jewelry, more than cards, more than dinners out. Any number of things that ladies like. A woman can have a lot of things. She can have beauty. She can have charm. She might have money. She might have health. She might have a successful career. She might have all those things and even more than those things. But if she doesn't have this, if she's got a family, and she doesn't have this, she doesn't have much. She may not have much at all in the way of the world's goods and what the world would consider to be blessings and benefits and advantages. But if she has the love and the esteem of her family, she's wealthy. She's well off. But there are some husbands who are so dull and so selfish, they're unable to muster even so much as an ounce of respect or admiration for their wives. They could be married to a Susanna Spurgeon. Forget you. They could be married to Susanna Spurgeon, and they still couldn't come up with even a thimbleful of praise, respect. Would make no difference. And there are children who are so self-centered and so insensitive. They couldn't come up with a gracious, serious, respectful comment or compliment for their mother, even if they had an angel from heaven for their mother. Still wouldn't happen. But under more regular circumstances, a godly woman has a right to expect. She has biblical warrant, put it that way, to expect and to enjoy the respect and the admiration of her family as a reward, as a fruit of her diligence and her faithfulness and her competence and her proficiency in her domestic calling. And that in a family where the grace of God isn't necessarily present. You don't have to be a Christian to experience this. You don't have to have the grace of God in your heart for this to be the case. You don't have to have converted husband and converted children to look for this and have warrant to expect this. This isn't something that requires saving grace. Down through history, volumes and volumes of diaries and journals and books have been filled with tributes to mothers, penned by people that we would have no reason to think were true believers, were Christians. People like Napoleon. Read some of Napoleon's comments about his mother and about motherhood. Alexander the Great, the same thing. These are men and women whom we have no reason to think were Christians. So what Lemuel writes of here requires no saving grace. And you see, if we find such esteem and appreciation for mothers in hearts where there is no saving grace to be found, how much more should it excel? How much more should it abound in the hearts of those who claim to know the grace of Jesus Christ? Christians ought to excel in this. Christian families should excel in this. So we have this assertion in our text. Secondly, we have an assumption in the text. There's an assumption here. It's assumed in these verses that the praise and the admiration and respect of husbands and children are intended to encourage and motivate this excellent wife, excellent mothers in their domestic calling. It's assumed that it's right for them to be encouraged and strengthened and motivated by this. This is part of their reward. This is one of the incentives that God has sanctioned in His Word for the encouragement of Christian mothers. Now, it's true, ladies, isn't it? That those of you that are true Christians, it's true that your chief incentive is you want to honor God in your life. Down deep inside, no matter what your emotional condition is, no matter what your personality is like, if you are a true Christian, you know that your desire, ultimately, number one desire, is you want to honor God in all your callings, in all your activities. You want to live for His praise. That ultimately what motivates you isn't the personal benefits that you get from living the Christian life. That's not what it's about for you. Not the personal benefits that the Christian life can bring to you. There's something in every true Christian heart that aims first and foremost to magnify and honor God, to magnify the glory of God. That's what you're after. That's your chief aim in life. It's also true that as we live the Christian life, we live the Christian life with the cross always before us. We have been ransomed as believers in Christ. We've been ransomed from sin and slavery to sin, ransomed and rescued from death and from Satan, reconciled to God. We've been purchased for God, purchased by God through the sufferings and the bloodshedding of Jesus Christ. And so you labor with this in view. All that you do as a mother, you do with the cross in full view as a woman in union with Jesus Christ by faith. The power of sin has been fundamentally broken in your life. And as one in union with Christ in His resurrection, now you walk in newness of life. And you labor, you live and you labor with the cross in full view. It's also true that if we understand the gospel, we see that the Christian life is a life of grace. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is not acquired by works. This is the clear message of the Bible. We're saved not by works, but by grace. We don't earn anything from God. We don't earn salvation from God. We don't earn salvation by domestic competence or by anything else we do. All of this is true. All that's true. However, something else is true, and that is that God is committed to reward His faithful people. God is committed to reward His faithful people. And so it's right and good and biblical for a Christian to anticipate rewards from God and to be encouraged and motivated and energized to godly obedience by that anticipation. And we can demonstrate this in so many different ways. It's clear from the general teaching of the Word of God. Listen to Isaiah 3 and verse 10. Say to the righteous that it will go well with them, for they will eat the fruit of their actions. Or Psalm 19, verse 11. In keeping the commandments of God, there is great reward. Or Matthew 5 and verse 12, where Jesus says, "Rejoice and be glad because your reward in heaven is great." Jesus said that right from the lips of the Lord. Colossians 3:24, the reward of the inheritance awaits all those who render faithful service to the Lord rather than to men. And so again and again, from the general teaching of the Word of God, God is committed to reward His faithful people. We can see this in the example of Jesus Christ Himself. Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. And then even beyond this, we see the principle of reward as an incentive in the Christian life explicitly applied to godly women right here in Proverbs chapter 31 in these verses, explicitly. Look at verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands. Give her the fruit of her labors, and let her works praise her in the gates. That's God's declaration. And it's not all future. It is future, but it's not all future. Give her the fruit of her labors right now. Give her some now. She'll get more later. Ladies, it's right for you to be motivated and encouraged by the approval and the appreciation of your family. Why wouldn't it be? Why would that be wrong? Isn't this what you labor for? Isn't this what you're after as a godly mother? You labor for their good. You love your husband. You love your kids. And you labor for their good. Now, you don't do anything perfectly all the time. Who does? But the point is, this is what you're after. You want to glorify God in them. You want to labor for their good. So why wouldn't it be right for you to expect some return on your efforts? So many years of your adult life has been spent sacrificing and laboring and serving your family. And your family's praise isn't your chief motivation, but it's a valid one. It's a good one. It's a deeply satisfying one. So the assumption in this text is the respect and the admiration of your family is a valid incentive to domestic excellence. So we've seen the assertion in the text and the assumption in the text. Now we come finally to the application of the text. What practical use can we make of all this? What lessons can we draw from verses 28 and 29? Well, I want to speak first of all to the ladies, to the mothers. I mean, not everybody here is a mother, obviously, but we can all make use of this in some way. Admiration and respect aren't easy things to earn, are they? You can labor for months and months and years and then just do one thing. Or have a weakness that crops out from time to time and there's a pattern. And respect and admiration can go down the tube so easily. But I want you to notice here, what is the setting? What are the circumstances under which this blessing of family praise is conferred? Well, you'll see that it's in the context of eminent piety, particularly expressed and evidenced by domestic excellence. That's the context of this reward. And so very clearly in this chapter, this is the proper context of the respect and admiration of one's family. This is the proper context in which that comes. This is one of the fruits of the godly woman's investment in her family. All these qualities that we just looked at a little bit ago. Submission to her husband. Strength, diligence, confidence, concern for others, spiritual priorities, wisdom. All those character traits, all those things in the portrait of this godly woman. These and other things furnish the setting, the context for the excellent wife's domestic reward. Verse 27 is a kind of a summary. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. And then, after all that, then comes the reward for her diligence and faithfulness, described in verses 28 and 29. The reward isn't mentioned until the woman is first described. So you see, this reward, like other rewards, is earned. There's a price to be paid for it. You don't fight for it. You don't argue for it. You don't demand it. Well, I demand that you respect me. I demand that you appreciate all my labor. You don't do that. You earn it. By consistency of character and conduct. Doesn't come automatically as a result of biology. Natural affection may prevail in a home, but respect and admiration may not. I remember hearing a story a number of years ago about a man who defected from when he was in Vietnam fighting in the war. And he defected. And 30 years later, he showed up and his family received him. And his family wanted to have a relationship with him. Probably, now they loved him because he was their father. They loved him, they wanted a relationship, but I don't think they were proud of him necessarily. I don't know that they admired him or that they even respected him. They may have pitied him, but I don't know that they were proud of him. Respect and admiration are always earned. And clearly here in Proverbs 31, the godly woman enjoys the respect and admiration of her family in the context of her domestic piety expressed by domestic excellence. So, my dear sister, dear ladies, don't expect your husband and children to praise you and respect you when you're not looking well to the ways of your household. Don't expect that. Don't expect your husband to praise you when he can't trust you with the checkbook or the credit card. When he has to clean the house and when he's got to cook the meals on a regular basis when he comes home from work. The laundry's piled high in mountains and the dust bunnies are rolling through the house like tumbleweeds. When you've been irritable and unpleasant, just generally grouchy and miserable, or else quiet and sullen, just clammed up. So here's the question I want to ask you. If there's thanklessness in your family, can you trace that thanklessness back to anything about your attitude and your actions? Anything at all? Not saying if it's just or not. I'm saying, is there a connection between those things? Are there any things about you that tend to make you lose respect in the eyes of your husband and your children? If so, what are those things? What are those things? Or we could put it this way. If your husband and your children were to speak about you and to you in this way, would they be bearing false witness? Would they be telling the truth? Perhaps you can say, I am very much conscious of weakness and imperfection. I'm conscious of sin as a mother. I'm aware of that. So what do? The same thing you do whenever you sin. Go to the Lord Jesus. Go to Jesus Christ. Take your sin to Him. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for cleansing. Confess your sin to Him. And then go and tell your family about it. Go talk to them. Tell them what you did. Perhaps others can here can say, I am conscious of sin and weakness and failing in my domestic responsibilities. I'm very much aware of that. But I'm also conscious of integrity before God. I am not a perfect mother, but you know, I've been a good mother. I've been a consistent mother. I've been a loving mother. And I can do some things around the house pretty well. I'm conscious of that as well. Let the praise and the admiration of your family be an encouragement to you. Don't think it's wrong for them. Receive it. Enjoy it. Be encouraged by it. This is just some of the fruit of your labors. And now I want to speak to husbands and fathers. Husbands and fathers, do we express our appreciation for our wives by words and actions? Do we urge our children to show respect for our wife, their mother? Several weeks ago, Pastor Ron led a class on showing honor to one another in the body of Christ. Well, here's a real particular, specific application of showing honor right here in the family. Husbands ought to honor their wives. And if you're like me, men, you must confess that you have not and you do not express your respect and your appreciation for your wife as you ought to. You drop the ball. You're not consistent like you ought to. It's all too easy to take them for granted. And just say, well, this is expected of you. Just this list of things. This is expected. And just take them for granted. And just assume that they'll always be there. And that they ought to always do these things. And then complain when they don't do it. Complain when it isn't just right. In Colossians 3:19, Paul writes, husbands, love your wives and do not be embittered against them. Why would he write that? What a negative thing that is. Paul, are you saying that as a husband, sometimes I might get embittered against my wife? Is that what you're actually implying here? Yeah. Paul wrote that probably because of the fact that's one of the crowning sins of Christian husbands and non-Christian husbands too, is they tend to become embittered against their wives instead of loving their wives. But men, where would we be? Where would we be were it not for our wives? What shape would we be in? What sorry creatures we would be if it weren't for our wives. And then I need to speak to the children. Children, do you express your appreciation for your mother in word and deed? What does she receive from you? As you step back and look over your life, what does she receive from you? What generally marks your relationship to your mother in the home? What kind of things are generally there? Resistance? Criticism? Resentment? Or gratitude? Respect, cooperation. Does your mother have to handle you with kid gloves, like walking on eggshells? Just got to word it just right. Just be real careful. Got to navigate through this real careful for fear of provoking you. Do you dislike it when your mother asks you for help? Do you resent that? Do you whine and complain? Or do her requests meet with cheerful compliance? Oh, sure. Sure, Mom. I'd be glad to. I'll take care of that right away. Is there anything else I can do? Anything else you need? Do you take the initiative to offer to help? Or must she ask first? 99% of the time. 100% of the time. Children can be very selfish. They can come to expect that parents must give and 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 give while they do little or nothing in return. That's just the way it's supposed to be. Proverbs 31, verse 28, is an outworking of the fifth commandment, if you think of it. Honor your mother. And here the honor is expressed verbally. Now you should show it visibly as well, but it's expressed here verbally. This is verbal honor. It involves speaking. It involves saying something. Opening your mouth and speaking words to your mother. You say, it's not easy for me to do that. I'm not that kind of person to open up and talk about my feelings for my mother. It's not easy for me to speak to people at that level. I'm just not that kind of person. So what? Become that kind of person. Pray that God will help you to become that kind of person. I'm sure, you know, it wasn't easy for your mother to get up in the middle of the night and take care of you when you were sick all those years. I'm sure that it wasn't easy for her to do that. And all those meals she fixed you, all the time she fed you, I'm sure it wasn't easy for her to shop and get food and fix all those meals. Pack all those lunches for all those years. I'm sure it wasn't easy for her to plan all those birthday parties and all those social events for you, all those things she did. I'm sure it wasn't easy for her to shop, buy all those things you needed, all those clothes you needed, all the things you wanted, things you didn't even need. I'm sure it wasn't easy for her to wash and iron all your clothes so you'd have something clean and decent looking to wear. I'm sure it wasn't easy for her to drive you to all those sports events and all those music lessons. I'm sure it wasn't easy for her to teach you all the things that she's taught you and to pray for you and do all the things that she's done for you. I'm sure none of that was easy. What if you didn't have any food to eat? He said, Mom, what's going on? She said, well, you know, it's just not easy for me to shop and bring home food and cook it. I'm just not that kind of person. What would you say? Say, become that kind of person. I'll help you. Be that kind of person. Where would you be were it not for her? Where would any of us be were it not for our mothers? Now, there's some ladies here that don't have children at all. You're not even a mother. Some don't have children at home, so that changes if you're an empty nester. Some have children who are too small to understand any of this. If they were here and they were listening, they wouldn't even know what I'm talking about. But we all have mothers, don't we? We all have mothers. Some of our mothers are no longer living. Some of our mothers are aging. It's not easy for us to be patient with them.
as they age. But whatever our situation, we can all make application of this to ourselves. And it's right here, I think. Here's one of the areas where our sin and our selfishness really show themselves. We might have many fine qualities about us. We might do many things in a good way, in a right way. We might have many areas of strength. But right here is an area where our sin and our selfishness really show themselves most clearly. How much of God's kindness has been shown to us through a loving mother? And it's like we just assume that that's the way it should be. Take it all for granted. We don't express appreciation to our mothers as we ought to. We need forgiveness for our domestic sins against our mothers. And we need grace to repent of our domestic sins against our mothers. If the Lord should mark our domestic iniquities against our mothers, who could stand? If the Lord should mark our ingratitude, if the Lord should mark our cruelty and our coldness and our insensitive attitudes, should mark our impatience, who would stand? But there is forgiveness with God. There is cleansing. There is forgiveness. And by the grace of God, there's hope to change and to make a difference. There's the blood of Christ covers past sin and past failure. And then there is grace. The grace of Christ is promised for future challenges and future obedience. So I close this morning by asking a simple question. Do you owe your mother something? Do you owe your mother something? Do you have any idea how happy you could make her with just a little bit of acknowledgement? Doesn't have to be a half-hour speech. Just a little bit of acknowledgement. Doesn't have to be a lot. Just a little. Just a little. Her heart's like a dry little sponge. Just a drop. That's all it takes. She's waiting for you. She's hoping. She's waiting for you to say thank you. She's waiting for you to say I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for such and such for all those years. Doesn't have to be much. Just a little. Just a little heartfelt appreciation. May God help us. God help us to express respect and admiration for a woman of excellence. Let us pray. Our Father, the great majority of us can say that we do thank you and bless you for the mother that you've given to us. The great majority of us can say that we have been helped and blessed through her labors, through her love, and how we thank you for the mothers that we've been given. Lord, your kindness to us has been expressed in so many ways through the love and the care, the sacrificial labors of our mothers for us. And yet, Father, we're not always quick to show appreciation. We don't always have the respect that we ought to have. Father, please forgive us. Grant, Father, that our guilt would not be allowed to continue on, uncleansed, unpardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ. Grant that it won't continue for another day. We thank you that there is forgiveness with you. that you might be feared. We thank you for the mothers that you've given to us. Lord, how we have been helped, how we have been benefited by them. Help us, Lord, in kind to express our appreciation, our respect, our gratitude, not only to them, but Lord, also to you. And Father, we pray that you will strengthen these dear ladies. We know that what they do is not easy. It is a labor of love. We thank you for the sacrificial, Christ-like service of our wives and our mothers. We pray that you will strengthen them. And we pray that what would drive them and energize them and motivate them would be not only our admiration, but Lord, far, far more, we desire that what would drive them to be examples of Christ is Christ's example to them and Christ's mercy to them. Father, may they desire to honor you. May they desire to honor the one who has loved them and given himself for them. Please strengthen them when they're weak, when they feel like they're at the end of themselves. Strengthen them in their weakness. And grant, Lord, that by your grace, they might be the women that you call them to be, for your praise and for your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.